Everybody, I'm good. Welcome to the adult discussion class. Wings Christian Fellowship. Hi, Rishi. How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. Glad to hear that. Visiting your grandma?
No.
Great aunt.
He's great great.
Great great.
Yeah, because his mother is my great niece.
We always knew you was great.
I know. You're bordering on pride now.
We think you and Buddy are both great.
Sometimes. I'm a great great.
And you're honest.
Wait long enough, you'll hear the truth.
Honesty is the best policy.
That God is blessing you.
That's what.
To be a great great aunt. Okay, so we started at 31. We got around to. Yeah, we went to 32, and then we started 33, but I don't think we really talked much about swearing and forswearing. It was kind of, I think there were some interesting words in there. So would we like to start at verse 33 of chapter 5 of Matthew?
Buddy?
I think it's Bud, huh?
It's his turn to read, but he thought I ought to finish.
Look at that smile. I hadn't seen that smile in a while. Only Buddy knows why he's smiling. I'm not going to say.
Let's go as far as 37, okay? And then, you know, maybe if we run out of things to say, we'll go on a little more later.
Okay, we'll start with 33, right?
33 to 37.
Again, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord as a religious duty. But I tell you, do not bind yourself by an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet. Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you are not able to make a single hair white or black. Let your yes be simply yes, and your no be simply no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one.
I know you're something usually ruminating down in that brain.
I'm thinking here, yes, that's a new adventure for all of us. Anyway, that I understand about the don't make any vows and even say, like, by heaven, that's what this one says, it is because it is a sacred vow to God. And if you say by earth, then it is a sacred vow for the earth, his footstool. Different way to look at it. And don't swear by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the capital of the great king. But when it says here, don't even swear by your head, for you can't turn the hair in the black or white. Say just simple yes, and this goes into detail. Yes, I will, or no, I won't. I'd almost rather hear that as yes or no, because you feel like you're on the spot and having to give a quick answer, and your yes may actually be no. I'm talking about what we walk out. I've seen a lot of people do that over the years. Your word is enough. Well, I want to ask the question, is your word enough? Is it what you walk? I mean, is your talk line up with your walk, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know how to say that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, because people, and we're talking about this world out here, I'm pretty sure they watch you, and if they see anything that goes against what your talk and walk is, they magnify exactly what they see. And I'm going to tell you, because that happens, I'm going to tell you, and with not much understanding either. I don't want to hear it. What have we actually developed by not walking out what we talk? No trust, mm-hmm. because they don't see it? No confidence in listening to you? So, to get back where we were, just say yes, I will, or no, I won't. Puts us in a zone where maybe God will remove us from that. He'll move upon us to do something else. Have you ever said anything and you felt like the Lord was with you to say it, and you said it, then after you said it, he goes, oh, no, I'm not going to. It's like he wasn't going to follow through on that. He goes, no, I wouldn't do that if I was you. I mean, you say it out there. Have you ever said anything out there and you thought, oh, my goodness, I wish I could take that back?
I believe God really looks at our hearts and our tents, our intents, and our motives. And I believe sometimes that we do say yes and fully intend to fulfill that. But then we come to a circumstance or situation that arises that we're not able to. I believe that we need a yes. I found that to be so with me, and have had every part of my being thinking, yes, I'm saying yes to this, that God is possibly showing me, because he's showing me things in me that he's dealing with. And then I say, yes, Lord, I will no longer do this, I will no longer be this way. But then a situation arises, and I find out that I am not able to fulfill that which I said yes to, I find out how greater I need him to enable me and to be that in me.
Well, in this group, I think we're willing to accept that you're not able to fulfill it in this group.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of words we could add to that. At this time, I'm not able to fulfill that. I mean, it might be later. Isn't that exactly about what happens to God's people all the time? I mean, we get stuck and say, okay, Lord, we know you want us to be like this. When it comes down to us being like a certain place, sometimes we say, I know that, I'm going to try that. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, you just messed up right there. I don't need you to try it. Because when we try, we'll say yes or no almost immediately, just thinking that's the end of it. And I'm not sure. I heard somebody this morning. I won't say who, but I heard somebody this morning. The shepherd never beats the sheep. And that stuck with me. Never beats the sheep. Well, I can go one more step farther than that. For we're all sheep. And I don't ever read, or have never read or seen, that the sheep beat the sheep. I'm thinking how impressive I was. I was really thrilled to hear all this, because I'm thinking, could it be that the word that the Lord's allowing us to walk out is more forgiveness for one another and less pointing to the finger? I think Oscar said it. Tell me if I'm wrong. When you point your finger at once somebody, you're pointing three at yourself normally, right? But, I mean, I'll shut up.
Do you know what the word forswear thyself means?
I looked it up. Perjure. Mm-hmm. Lie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You said it says, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform. In other words, it's not what you say, it's what you do. So, I think that there's something sweet in the thing of, like, just forget all that and just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And develop that character in yourself that people can trust. That when you just say yes or no, it's the very same thing as, you know, to the best of your ability, you are going to perform what you said.
Well, don't you think it ends up being that we could say yes to something that we're not quite able to do yet, but down the road, God will bring it to pass and says, I'm going to allow this to happen because I'm going to be glorified in this. Mm-hmm. Even when people see us doing something that maybe we need to repent for or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, 33 is making vows to the Lord. I mean, you can tell somebody, a person, that you'll do something, and the people in the country say, God willing, and the creek don't rise. You know, I'm willing to do it unless something comes up. But this is not what that's talking about, I don't think. I mean, it says, thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths.
Well, I think we live in a world today when you say something to somebody, you have to qualify it.
That's right.
You know, you'll say something, and then you'll go, well, you know, if you do this, or if we do it this way, you know, there's never an absolute truth. There's always a qualification.
Well, the main thing sometimes is the fact that you don't really know what you'll do in certain situations,
right.
Circumstances, until that comes up. You know, Peter stood... And he said, they'll all deny you, Lord. I won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what did Jesus say? He said, verily I say unto you, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Two or three times, which I don't remember which one it was. Mm-hmm. But Peter, when he said that, thought that was so. You know, that he would never deny the Lord until he was put in that situation to where... You know, he was going to be in trouble if he didn't deny him. You know what I mean? Because they wanted to kill anybody that was in agreement with him. And Peter denied him. Well, then he went away and he wept, you know. Well, in a lot of situations, we go through these things because God wants us to learn, you know. I can tell you something that, a little story quickly about myself one time. When Mark was a little boy, when he was like, 7 or 8 or something like that. Mark loved baseball from the time he was just a little bitty thing. I mean, he slept with his baseball glove and stuff. You know, that wouldn't didn't worry about teddy bears, slept with his baseball glove, you know. And he loved baseball. He still does, you know. And I don't know if he wasn't doing real good in the class or something. And Pete Rose had a restaurant up in Western Hills. It was, I can't remember what the Home Plate or one of them, or I don't remember what the name of it was. And I kind of said to him, I said, well, you know, if you'll get your grades up, I'll take you up to that restaurant sometime. And, you know, he got his grades up. Well, I never did take him. Now, what I'll have to tell you is back then, I didn't go in restaurants because I was not that far removed from having that epilepsy. And I didn't like to go in restaurants. I didn't like to get up in front of people. I didn't like to get in large groups, you know, because I had seizures times when that happened, you know. And because of that, I had a real standoffish type situation in my life, you know. And, you know, I told myself that I would do this, but I couldn't bring myself to take him up there, you know. I wish Margaret would have taken him, not laying off on Margaret, but I never did take him. And I think that was a huge disappointment to him. And later on, years down the road, I preached a sermon one time, and I actually cried when I preached that sermon because God brought that back to me. And I told him I was so sorry that I didn't fulfill the word I told him, you know. Because we don't realize the depth, that when we tell somebody we'll do something, what that sometimes means to them, you know what I mean? And yet, I was in a position to where, at that point in time, I mean, when we go out to eat a hamburger or something, we didn't go in the restaurant. We would order it from the car, you know? And it took quite a few years for me to get to the point where I could go in restaurants and sit down and eat, because I'd had seizures in public, and people always did stupid stuff, and I felt very uncomfortable when I go in places like that. You know, we went to Marge and Jim's one time, and they was asking people what their favorite restaurant was, you know, and this was not very, I was not very far removed from that back then, see, because I had seizures from the time I was 9 till I was 12. Well, I took medication for a few years, and then God healed me of that, you know, but I still had that phobia, I had that fear, and until I got saved, you know, when I did get saved, a brother at a prayer meeting said to me, come over and said, Brother Oscar, the Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me. Do you have epilepsy? And I said, no. He said, did you have epilepsy? And I said, yes. He said, do you have a fear of epilepsy? And I said, yes. And he says, God wants you to proclaim that that's gone. Well, you know, even all of those years, and if I got a tingling in my mouth or anything like that, oh my God, my stomach would tell it in a knot back then. But he basically told me, God wants you to testify that fear is gone. Well, I did. And when I first came to church, I sat in the back. I didn't talk to people hardly. I mean, because that's just the way I was, you know what I mean. And it wasn't that I didn't like people or anything like that. I just felt very, very uncomfortable around people. You know, well, you can see I'm not anymore. But it took a lot of years for God to work all that out of me. But anyway, you know, I felt really bad about that, even years later. And I knew that was a huge disappointment to him, because he loved baseball. And to think that he might have seen Pete Rose up there or something, you know, that was a huge disappointment. But see, I had told myself that I would do that. But I didn't know I wouldn't do that until it came time to do it. And then I just couldn't bring myself to go in that restaurant, you know. And it, like I say, it was a lot of years and before the Lord actually got me to that point. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why when the Lord started giving me things, I told the Lord, I said, you're going to have to open the doors. I'm not going to break down any doors. I'm not going to push myself into anything. And I don't push myself into anything. I just basically say, you know, well, God, if you want me to do it, you got to open the doors, then I'll do it. And even with that, it was hard to do, you know. But so many times we think we know ourselves, and we'll make a statement of that. Oh, yeah, I'll do that, you know. And then when it comes time to do it, we're not really willing to do what we just said. But at the time we said it, we thought we were. But we don't even know ourselves. And God has to reveal even ourselves to us and our shortcomings and and he doesn't do that to bring condemnation on us. He does that so that we will rely on him and that we'll look to him.
You know, when I was growing up, I had an older sister. She was my oldest sister, Dad's oldest daughter. He used to say, well, if you're leaving her, she'll say, well, I said, I'll see you tomorrow. And so help me God, she would always say, you will if it's the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what? That stuck with me. Because that ended up all the way until she was no more. I'll see you tomorrow. She goes, if it's the Lord's will. And I think that's the kind of communication. That's a yes we should have. Or that's a no we should have. Because we don't know his will from day to day.
Well, see, I will say this. And sometimes we have a tendency that we've come a long way. You know, I mean, you know, from the time you first got saved, you weren't the same as you are now. I'm not the same as I was when I first got saved. I've come a long way from that position. And we have to remember that you know, we didn't, we weren't always as positive as maybe we are now. We didn't know the things that we know now. We didn't even know the things about ourselves that we know now, you know. And, you know, if we're not careful sometimes, we give that impression like, you know, well, bless God, I've always been this way. Well, no, you haven't always been this way. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't, if a tree doesn't grow new leaves, it's dead. If the branches don't get bigger and get taller, it's dead. You know what I mean? And we're in a process of being changed little by little, like that song goes. He's changing me line upon line. He's changing me like this word I shared the other day. Precept by precept until I'm free. Jesus, my Lord, is changing me. That song we used to sing. And that's the way it is. It's a growth process. So we don't need to beat ourselves up too much, but we need to admit when we fall short in an area and ask God to forgive us, or whoever we offended, ask them to forgive us. And sometimes they will and sometimes they won't. But that other person doesn't know where you were in that situation either. You know, like with Mark, he didn't know where I was. He didn't know that I couldn't hardly bring myself to go in a restaurant because I'd had seizures in a movie show and school and different places. And, oh man, it was bad. You know, kids would say stupid things. They would hurt your feelings, you know, a lot of things. But even with those, I look back at those situations like that. And those were learning situations for me to be compassionate towards other people when I see them hurting. And to not be down on them when I see them hurting, you know, or when they have a shortcoming or something, to try to build them up or lift them up if I can, you know. But, you know, so many times, you know, if we're all honest, we've all fell short in a lot of areas, and we've said we'd do things when we didn't do them. And, you know, I when I first, the Lord first started using me in prophetic word, I'd stand out in the audience sometimes. I wasn't even an elder then. And the Lord would run words through my head as I was standing out there when something was going on. And, you know, I didn't totally understand that the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. What does that mean? That means you have to choose to open your mouth and speak those words. God's not going to force you. He's not going to push himself through you unless you're willing to open your mouth and do it. And a lot of times, you know, I stand there at different times and I'd say, well, Lord, if this is really you, go ahead. You know? And it ain't like that. That ain't the way that works. You know, and one time I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if this is really you, give it to somebody else. And Janet was playing the piano back then. And all of a sudden she started giving a prophetic word, and it was word for word what God had given me. You know, well, then I went out of there with my tail dragging between my legs because I realized, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But every time that you fail in God, what ends up happening is if you're honest about it, it's a growth process. Because then the next time, it's a little harder to not do what God's inspiring you to do, even if it makes you feel uncomfortable at the time, you know. And, you know, but it's definitely a growth process. And we're all learning, and we need to not purposely forswear about something or say we're going to do something. If we say we're going to do something, we need to the best of our ability, try to do it, you know. And, you know, I try to do that nowadays if I tell anybody anything, you know. And, you know. But Lord brought me out of a lot of backwardness, you know. Very, was a very backward person, you know. And,
I think the things that we practice in our lives, I would encourage everyone in here to practice repenting to somebody quickly. Don't let it sit dormant. Don't let it don't go to bed with an anger or anything like that at night or whatever. I think it ought to be a lot quicker than that. I think, you know, the very second you see them, you know what you've said and that you're sorry, but they don't know it. But I'll tell you what, if you open your mouth and let the Holy Spirit speak through it, they'll know that you've had true repentance to them, and it'll be forgiven. Now, could you imagine having something against somebody and not repenting? But the moment you started opening your mouth and the Holy Ghost took over, that they forgive you even before you get done? That's the kind of God we serve. He's an on-time God, but he wants us to open up about that. I mean, not hide it, not go back and act like, you know, we have nothing to repent for. They're the ones that said it. I think I've told you in this room. Step up and take the blame. See the Holy Spirit work within you. Can do things that restore you that you can't do for yourselves. And I'd much rather restore somebody or be restored myself, as to have hurt feelings and think, because we don't know what day will be our last or what day will be their last. When opportunity comes, it's not like, well, that was just an accident. We ran into each other. God, I don't believe God has accidents. I believe he has reasoning, and it's his reasoning, and it's his purpose, and it's our opportunity.
I think there's something that Jesus was saying to the crowds that day, because almost every one of these subjects that he talks about, he starts off with, you have heard that it has been said, you know, by men of old, that it has been said by them of old time. So way back in the Old Testament, even though Jesus had not yet died, he came to show us a better way. And I think there are the misunderstandings of what the Old Testament thought things meant, and the true nuggets of truth that Jesus was trying to show people. And it's not that difficult. In other words, you know, so every time he says, but I say unto you, you know, here's what you've heard, and here's what I'm saying to you. You know? And he gets right down to the simplistic, the real nut, the real meat of the nut. You pull off the skin, you know, this swear not by this or this, those things are not important. Develop the character that is, you know, in other words, you're going to see in the future, after I've gone to the cross, after I've died and been buried, and the Holy Spirit comes and comes alongside of you, comes into you, and he starts doing for you what you can't do for yourself. And he just says, you know, so just let your communication be yay, yay, nay, nay. You can't do that now. I understand that. But a day is coming when that is the spirit that you will have within you. And you, and there's a process, and you will grow into it. And I think that's the whole point. Point of the processing of the Lord to where we get to a point. I love my simple life. Simplicity to me is the best. I just really, if you got something to say, say it. If you don't, just, you know. But everything doesn't have to be so blessed confusing. You know what I mean? Just, there are things that cause me a lot of anxiety. And I don't know that anybody understands what those things are, but they're there in me. When the holidays come around, I have a lot of anxieties. Because I always wanted everybody to really like me and be, you know, and some people don't like me. Some of them are even in my own family. You know, and that causes anxiety to my flesh, you know, and it causes me to want to put on a false face, put on a false front, swear by heaven, swear by the earth, make everything confusing. when actually it just has to be yay, yay, and nay, nay. You know, you do you and I'll do me, and God will take care of us both, you know? And so I think that every time he says, you've heard this of the men of old, but here's what I'm telling you. And I think as you go through these things, you'll see the character of Jesus and what he is bringing forth in us. Not that he wants to bring forth in us. He's bringing it forth in us. You know why? Because he put it in us. And he's going to bring it out.
You know, I was reading further down. But when you look at 48, it said, yet, it says, you, therefore, must be perfect. This is growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. But where's all that is from process, mm-hmm. from our experiences, mm-hmm. and our growth, mm-hmm. and what he does in us in all circumstances and situations, but we don't always handle them as he would have us to handle them.
Do you remember what I said to y'all last week about the Gospels being the gospel of the kingdom, but yet it was done under the Old Testament because the tester hadn't died yet? You have to realize what he's doing here. He's taking their very things that they did, you know, an eye for an eye. Well, you punch me in the eye, I gotta pull your eye out or whatever, you know. And that's human nature. Hewed down nature. That's not God's nature. And, you know, he's basically bringing them down to this point in like 48, what you just read. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You can't do that.
That's right.
You cannot do that. You have to move into his perfection. You have to move into his grace. You have to move in what he was able to do. He took those handwriting of ordinances, and this is basically a lot of handwriting of ordinances here, is when you get down to it, and he nailed them to the tree. And if he took them and nailed them to the tree, he crucified them with himself. Now, that's why we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, you know, but basically alive unto God, you know, that kind of thing. But you know, if you look at all this on the surface, you can't do any of this stuff. I mean, not really in your own strength. And unless God is moving in you or flowing through you in situations, you can't do that. I love what my mother told me one time. She was in a meeting, and she said this guy got up in the meeting and told this preacher that was preaching, and I can't remember the preacher's name, but she went with my Uncle Wiley to this meeting a few times when she was younger. And she said, this guy got up and he read that scripture. If someone smacks you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. And he got up and said to this preacher, he says, well, if I come up here, he says, you know that scripture there? He says, if I come up here and smack you in the face, he said, you're going to turn your cheek so I can smack you in the other face? And he was being serious. You know what the preacher said to him? He said, you know, because I don't know and you don't know, I'd advise you not to do it. And you know, that's the truth there. That's the truth. Because I don't know and you don't know, I would advise you not to do it, he said. And I've thought about that many times. We think that we know what we would do in every situation. We know what the Word says. But do we always do everything that the Word says? And as far as this goes, it takes someone with total humility, total surrender to God, to let somebody smack them upside the head and just turn around and say, well, go ahead, here's the other one, get the other one, how you're at, you know, well, that That don't happen a whole lot of times, I can tell you that. And if it does, then that person is probably weak in some other area, because our perfection is by moving into what he did, not what we do. Because, you know, it's like when Paul said in Romans the 7th chapter, that which I would do, I don't do, and that which I don't want to do, I'm doing all the time. Basically what he said, oh wretched man that I am, you know, who shall deliver me from this? And he basically said, Jesus Christ, he's the only one that can deliver us from it, you know. But, you know.
I think I'm not talking about you, I guess I'm talking about me. I just realized something. Everything that we're reading here is Jesus spoken.
Yeah.
And since we're way beyond this word, because we're in the fact that he is our Savior, he is our Redeemer.
Right.
He is the one that took it to the cross and nailed it.
Right.
And because he is, we should read these words at knowing the one that did all that.
Right.
We shouldn't realize and say, you know, just looking in the past, but he's bringing past to the present. He's the God yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to read something to you. It says, if, from 41st verse, if the military demand that you carry their gear for 1 mile, carry it two. This is our Savior saying that. He says, whatever they demand, do double. Isn't that what he's saying? Okay, 42. Give to those who ask. Stop right there. And then he says, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Now, first of all, I believe this is Jesus' present for today. And that is, he knows who they can borrow from because they're asking them to borrow. And he says, don't turn away from them. Doesn't say, I don't see where it says anything here that we need to see their credentials or their way to pay back. Now, I've dealt with this man over here enough to know the church don't, when they give something, it's given. It's not a borrow. Mm-hmm. It's given. I've seen houses get paid for. I'm not bringing no names up. I've seen houses get paid for. No payback. Given. I'm satisfied in this room right now. I'm talking to that body of Christ. God wants us to be the giver. Always the giver. It's just like, did we not, I know I'm out of scripture here, but did we not heal 10 and only one return to give him honor and glory? I'm talking to right now, the one that's in this room. Be that one. Be that one that gives him honor and gives him glory. We fall short in so many aspects. I shouldn't say we. Me, I fall short in so many aspects that when it comes to step up, do you know we're stepping up on his word? Who will never fail? His word will never fail. Our intentions, I love what you said before, our intentions of the heart. God knows the intentions of our heart. And when he tells you to do something, it's already something that he's given you the ability to do.
Right.
It's not that you got to look for the ability. He's turned that already. Why do you think I gave that to you? I gave you that, that my glory might be seen upon the earth. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit and the glory of God in this word to proclaim it and to walk it out. I did that one time and he was with me. I think you were down the mission. I was supposed to be speaking. So I did speak. But in what I was saying, I walked off the platform. Totally walked off the platform. Rolled, turned around, come back up the steps. Did not miss a step or a beat on what I was saying.
He says he walked off, he fell off. I mean, really, you did. You
That's right.
You actually fell.
But here's, so Audrey asked me, she said, I couldn't believe that you did that. I said, why is that? She said, well, you didn't miss a beat. I said, that's because I believe I fell off in him. When you fall off in him, you get back up in him.
Yeah.
We have too many times where we slip and fall and act like God don't see it.
Yeah.
He not only seen it, but he probably slicked the place where you fell. Because he's the one that holds you in his hand.
Can I say one thing, too, concerning even when people come to the church and, you know, they want help or something and we help people or whatever. there is times when we will turn somebody down, and that's if we think it's going to be detrimental to what where they're at. And there's some people that you know they're going to run right out the door and go buy drugs or something. Well, I'm not going to feed that. You know, I'm just not. But I'll say this for the people in here, if you have a need, don't come and say, I'll pay you back.
Right.
Don't say that, because you put yourself in a bad position, because, you know, we don't expect you to pay us back. You know, if we give you something, we gave it to you because you needed it. Now, if you want to make a donation to the church sometime, that's fine. But a lot of times, because we feel awkward asking for help or something, we forswear ourselves to a certain extent. We say, oh, well, I'll make sure I pay you back, and I'll make sure I don't say that. Don't say that.
Right.
Because you just put yourself in a position to where you're going to feel condemnation.
That's right.
And then you're going to feel awkward when you come around people and you haven't done that.
Or you have a tendency not to come around because
right.
You feel that.
Because you feel that way. And that happens a lot of times. But I just wanted to clarify that, because, you know, people have a tendency to do, oh, I'll give it back. Don't say that.
I got to tell you a quick story. We were down at the other church located in Elmwood. And you know how big a yard we had. This room's bigger than that yard.
Yeah, that yard's
about
nothing,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. A guy wanted some money. And one of the elders said, I'll tell you what, if you'll cut our grass, we'll give you that money.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the mower that we had was an electric mower. It plugged in.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of cut it slow so you wouldn't drive over the cord. I don't know how many times I'd love to drive over the cord. Well, anyway, but after about 4 hours, the guy finished the yard.
Huh.
Now, this is concrete here. If it's grass and it's bumpy, you're going to have to really be careful. Well, anyway, 4 hours. They paid him. They gave him the money that he asked for. And I'm pretty sure, if I understand it right, he never, ever came back.
Yeah. In other words, because we told him you can earn the money, and
we'll
be glad to give it to you.
That's right.
He didn't want to have to earn it.
And to be honest with you, according to God's word, he probably requires the same of us. But you still go back and work. Anyway, I just thought, you know, Brother Eddie used to say, because I was thinking when Oscar was talking, Brother Eddie always said, and I believe he lived this, there needs to be a balance in our lives. We hear what the Spirit says. That keeps us on the straight. But we put it into motion that gives other people chances to come in and be on the straight with us, to join us. But if we're only on the straight and we don't look to each side of us to help people, he goes like this, it'd be a lonely walk, just you and God. I mean, how does he add to the church daily? I mean, you know. And I started to say, I thought it would have been funny, but he probably wouldn't have liked it, that he'd get nervous in crowds. Well, we don't have to worry about the crowd right now. And once again, we are all acceptable in the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. because he's the standard that set it for us. Mm-hmm. And we get to walk in it. I'll show you.
And look at verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect. And we all understand that perfect means mature, full-grown man, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So where is the kingdom of heaven? It's in us. So your Father, which is in you, is perfect. So, therefore, be ye therefore perfect. So I think that speaks something to the triune flesh, the soul, the spirit. I mean, we still have some affecting to do. But our Father, which is inside of us, is perfect. We will, and He will work that out of us. Go ahead.
There's a notation on that. It says James 1:4. I'm reading this out of the Living Bible. James 1:4. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, I love this, in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. That full and complete, as far as I've heard, is maturity.
Exactly. Read that again, will you? I love that.
It says, so let it grow. Don't try to squirm out of your troubles. For when your patience is finally and fully bloomed, then you will be ready for anything. Strong in character, full and complete. Mm-hmm. Complete is lacking nothing, right?
Now, doesn't brings on patience? Tribulation brings about patience. And patience must be the last thing then.
Tribulation versus patience, experience, and experience makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
Yeah.
So
there, and that ushers in the maturity.
Yeah.
When we are not ashamed.
See, it's a death, and everything in God is a growth process.
That's
everybody
right.
That thinks, well, bless God, I got it, and I don't, you know. You ain't got it yet. You're getting it. You're in the process of getting it. You're in the process of coming to the realization of it. You know, we've got it as far as Jesus is concerned, but not as far as we're concerned, because we have to grow in this thing. That's why there was three realms there: the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Well, the perfect will of God, that means a full-age man. That word actually, perfect, actually means a full-age man. And you know, and there's three things that abide. Now abide is these three things: faith, hope, and love. And when you become a perfect man, then you're going to be an expression of His love. You know, and it's a process. You got to grow. We're growing up. You know, and anybody that says but bless God, I've got it all in the Lord right now, show it.
That's why
I was going
to
say, it's still a teenager. Anyway,
that's why I say, if someone says they're perfect, I say, tell me how you did it. Because
yeah.
There is no perfect man.
Tom used to say, how's that working out for you?
There is no.
You know what he said?
We're only perfect because of what He did.
Right.
You know, not because of what we did. Because then it becomes all works if it's because of what we did. But we do have to do some things once in a while.
Or the other one I have is, I thought I was mistaken one time, but I was mistaken.
I used to have a plaque when I was a supervisor at another company. I had a plaque up, so I'm sitting on my desk. Once I thought I was wrong, but I was wrong. You know, that kind of thing. It's the same kind of thing. But after a while, I think they made me take it down. I think somebody said, you shouldn't really have that up there. But, you know. Well, praise God.
I was trying to find where it says the kingdom of heaven is within us. But I don't see any other word for heaven except in the New Testament anyway, except the...
I'm not sure it says the kingdom of heaven, but it says the kingdom of God is within us. I don't know if it says the heaven, kingdom of heaven. I'm not familiar with that.
Same thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I was going to say, there's nothing really.
Jesus did say that, you know, Brother Eddie used to quote that all the time, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing there, right?
Right
front
with
of.
Him, all right.
Well, they used to quote that all the time, you know. And but he had that.
It's a higher realm.
He was in that realm. He was in that realm of understanding.
Yes.
You know, I can understand him quoting that a lot, because it's a reminder to self.
Yeah.
Where you're at.
Yep.
Well, folks,
and where's he's at?
Yeah. we're having a guest speaker today, and
better get out there.
I think we better be on time for the church.
Yeah.
It says 10:53 here by atomic time. So let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Mike, would you close us today?
Sure. Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word today. Father, thank you for helping us to understand it more as we come to this class every Sunday. And Father, we just look forward to what you have in store for us today with Tam May, and we give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.